Lord, I just want to thank you for this night that we can open up your word. Thank you that, Lord, you've made this available to us to live stream, Lord, to live stream our services, to teach the word of God, and Lord, that people not even in this area, but outside of this area, even outside of this state and outside of the nation, Lord, we've had several people email us and just let us know that they're watching the live stream, the teaching of the word of God. So we thank you for that. And we just count it all as a joy and a privilege, Lord, to read your word, to have it available to us, and to go through verse by verse, chapter by chapter. And we trust, Lord, that your word, once again, is going to accomplish its very work that you have for each one that's tuned into the live stream, Lord. So I ask your blessing, Lord. May you anoint the teaching of your word this night. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so Jeremiah chapter 4 and 5. As you notice, I'm not covering more than two chapters because Jeremiah has long chapters. And so we're going to only cover 4 and 5, but there's a lot of verses to cover. So we need to move on out. I do want to just underscore this as we read through chapters 4 and 5. The three key themes that I really kind of gravitate towards, and you're going to see this in the words, is a person's heart. You're going to see the word heart come up over and over and over again, whether somebody's heart is good or somebody's heart is not so good. Judgment is coming. That's another theme that we're going to see. Judgment is coming because the hearts of the people have gone astray. And really, that's what judgment comes for, is to change people's hearts. Okay, so I want you to underscore that and idea in your mind, you know, when and apply it to our own lives. When we experience correction or judgment, oftentimes it's because our heart is not quite right, and the Lord wants to get our attention. Anybody ever experienced that? Kind of maybe you're doing things you ought not to do, you're straying, and then, boy, the Lord doesn't have your attention because he's letting you get away with it, right? Keep on doing it. Well, I can keep on doing it. The Lord hasn't done anything. I can keep on doing it. That's what we do. But then all of a sudden, the Lord allows something to happen, right? And he allows us to go through some things which, in a way, is judgment. When you think about it, going through some hard times, and that gets our attention. So the question has to be, well, are we going to heed to what the Lord is doing? And this is really what's posed in our chapters this evening, in chapters 4 and 5 of Jeremiah. Again, one of the major themes is the people's heart. Is their heart for the Lord, or is their heart for the world? And then we're going to see judgment. The Lord is going to prophesy through Jeremiah judgment, and the reason he's going to do that is so that they would take notice that their heart is wrong and that they would change. Okay, and so we're going to see that. And then also what we're going to see, another theme is, and this is a theme that runs throughout Jeremiah, and really most of the books in your Bible, is this whole thing about a remnant, a small group that's going to be faithful. And so even though the people's hearts are not so good, and God's going to allow judgment to come on the people, there's going to be a faithful remnant. And I want you to note that. There always is a faithful remnant. God will find a group of people that he can use to really get out the message. Okay, so we're going to see that. So these are the three themes. A person's heart, judgment, and why there is judgment to change a person's heart, and then a faithful remnant. Okay, so let's begin right there. Chapter 4, verse 1 says, "If you will return, O Israel, says the Lord, return to me." Okay, so here we go. Return, it means repent, basically. That's what repentance is, right? It's to return back to the Lord, or to turn to the Lord. Now, what was the opposite? Remember last week we looked at that word backsliding, or backslidden. Remember, that's an opposite, or it's the inverse of repent. If repent is to turn away from your ways unto the Lord, what is backsliding? It's to turn away from the Lord's ways unto your ways, right? It makes sense, right? And actually, it's an interesting thing when you look at the words. It really means the same in the Hebrew. It means the same. It means to turn. Backsliding is to turn away from the Lord and to your ways. But repentance means to turn away from your ways to the Lord. Okay? So we see that. Okay, so we saw backsliding used several times in our study last week. We're going to see backslidden used again in our study this evening. But notice it starts off, if you will return. Basically, if you will repent and go the right way, return to me. If you will return, O Israel, says the Lord, return to me. And if you will put away your abominations out of my sight, then you shall not be moved. And you shall swear, the Lord lives, in truth, in judgment, and in righteousness. The nations shall bless themselves in him, and in him they shall glory. For thus says the Lord to the men of Judah and Jerusalem. Now I want you to note this, and I highlighted this a couple weeks ago when we began Jeremiah. Jeremiah is a young man, isn't he? Remember we talked about he's about teenage years, maybe 20 at the most. And he's a young man. He's got this really difficult call, this difficult ministry. And we know the history of his ministry. Basically, nobody listened to him. Actually, they didn't even not want to listen to him. They wanted to kill him, right? Because they didn't want to hear what he had to say. That's what happens oftentimes, right? When you have the truth, a lot of times people don't want to hear it. And then, so they didn't want to hear it so much that they actually threw him into a well and they left him there to die. And so he has a very difficult ministry. And that ministry, as we, you can turn back here and cross-reference with me, chapter 1. Remember chapter 1, verse 10? This was what he was to prophesy. He says, to root out and to pull down, to destroy and to throw down, and to build and to plant. Can you imagine? You say, thus says the Lord. And you go to church. I'm here to root you out and pull you down. I'm here to destroy and to throw you down and to start up a new work. Imagine if you went to church and say, thus said the Lord. Well, what do you think they'd do? They'd probably throw you into a cistern as well, right? But this is what he was called to do. So note the difficulty, right? But notice how confident he is. Why? Because it's the word of the Lord. Notice in verse 3, chapter 4, it says, for thus says the Lord. And you know what he's going to prophesy? Is judgment. He's going to prophesy exactly what the Lord told him he was going to prophesy. He's going to minister in the exact way the Lord showed him how he was going to minister. He's going to root out and pull down and to correct and replant and to start a new work. Now, who's he prophesying to? It's all of the southern tribes of Judah, but specifically to the leaders. To the kings, right? To the priests, and even to the other prophets. We're going to see that there are a lot of false prophets. And the false prophets, they're false because they're not giving the truth. They're giving what the people want to hear. All right, and so that's the tendency, right, is to water down the word of God. I want people to like me, right? So I'm going to tell them what they want to hear. Makes sense, right? We all want to be liked, right? That's the sense. Well, we're going to see this is a young man, teenage years, right? And so he's heard from the Lord, and he's just going to give him the word of God. So he says, for thus says the Lord to the men of Judah and Jerusalem, break up your fallow ground. Now, we're going to see that this fallow ground he's going to talk about is the heart. Break up your fallow heart. Now, what does fallow mean? Well, it's basically a hard heart. Untilled heart. You know, when you, and I'm not a farmer, but you can read about it, right? When you plant crops, you got to till the ground, right? You got to break up that fallow ground. It's hard, right? And how do you break it up? You usually get like a, I don't know, some kind of tool, like a hole, and you kind of break it up. Right, so it can receive the seeds there, right? And so he's saying, break up your fallow ground. He's saying, break up your hard hearts and do not sow among thorns. Now, when I read this, the first thing I thought about is, remember when Jesus came with the parable of the sower? Remember those one that had what? Hard soil? Remember on the wayside? Sower comes in, throws seed, right? And before it could even kind of have a chance, right, to go in the ground because it's so hard, right? The birds come and they pick it up. But remember, there's also what? The seed that went among thorns. Remember that? Isn't that interesting? I want you to hold your hand here and I want to actually read this because this is a reference to their hearts. Israel's heart, it's wrong. And this is exactly what Jesus said, that the soils they represent are hearts. And I wanted to read this because I want you to read this parable in Matthew 13. You can turn all the way to the New Testament. And I want to read the parable and the interpretation of the parable. And I want us to apply it to our own lives. What kind of hearts are we? Okay? What kind of hearts do we have? What kind of soil are we? All right? And so, Matthew chapter 13. Let's begin reading right at verse 1. Okay? Right at verse 1. Matthew 30 says, on the same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat by the sea, and great multitudes were gathered together to him, so that he got into a boat and sat, and the whole multitude stood on the shore. And then he spoke many things to them in parables, saying, behold, a sower went out to sow. Here's our parable, right? The sower went out to sow, and as he sowed, some seed fell by the wayside. and the birds came and devoured them. Some fell on stony places where they did not have much earth. They're shallow, okay? Didn't have much earth. And they immediately sprang up because they had no depth of earth. It was very shallow. Okay, so verse 6. But when the sun was up, when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up and choked them. But others fell on good ground and yielded a crop, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. Okay, so he's going to give us the interpretation, which is to our benefit. Oftentimes these parables, they don't have our interpretation, kind of. Are kind of looking, and sometimes we get it right, sometimes we get it wrong. But he gives the interpretation of these parables here. Okay, so let me just ask you. Firstly, how many soils bear fruit? It's really only one, right? Really only one. So one out of four, right? And that's this one with the good soil. Now, let's read the interpretation. Verse 18, Matthew 13, verse 18 says, therefore, hear the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, then the wicked one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. That's how we know these soils represent the heart. And so this first soil on the wayside, it's a hard heart. And so when the seed comes, it can't penetrate. And so the birds come and they pick it out. Now what's the seed? We're going to see the seed is the word. Now let's keep reading. This is he who receives seed by the wayside. But he who received the seed on stony places, this is he who hears the word. Okay, so the seed is the word we know, right? And so there's a second soil, which represents a second heart. What's the stony heart? Doesn't have depth, right? It's shallow. Okay, so I want you to note this. But he who received the seed on stony places, this is he who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Okay, so this would be somebody that they hear the word of God, boy, they get really excited. They jump up and down. A lot of energy, right? But then what happens? There's no depth. And so when the sun comes up, right, there's no root. No deep roots. And so when the world comes, right, it scorches and then he withers away. Okay, that's what he explains here. But he who received the seed on stony places, this is he who hears the word immediately, receives it with joy, yet he has no root in himself, but endures only for a while. For when tribulation or persecution arises, this is the sun, right, scorches him. Tribulation, persecution arises because of the word, immediately he stumbles. Okay? That's a second soil. He's speaking of a second type of heart, right? When trials and tribulation come, right, he doesn't last. Verse 22, now he who receives seed among the thorns, okay? Now we saw a reference to thorns in Jeremiah. And so he says, he who receives seed among the thorns is he who hears the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becomes unfruitful. Wow. Okay, so there's growth, but he's planted amongst what? The thorns, right? He's living in the world. He's living as the world. So even though he's growing, right, what happened? The world chokes it, and there's no fruit. That's another soil. Isn't that interesting? And then finally, notice it says the cares, right? Among the thorns is he who hears the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word. Now finally, the fourth soil. But he who receives seed on the good ground is he who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and produces some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. So it's pretty obvious what soil we want to be, right? What kind of heart to receive it. But I want you to kind of note the first three that are listed, right? There's the hard heart. That seed goes, it can't penetrate. So the birds, they pick, a bird doesn't, you don't see a bird digging for a seed, right? They just pick it off the ground because it can't penetrate. The heart is hard. The soil is hard. But then there's the shallow ground, the rocky places, right? So there's some growth, but there's no depth for it to really take root. And so when trials and tribulations come, right? Hey, they said, hey, I know this is okay when things are okay, but when things get bad, I'm not in it, right? So there's no depth. And then the third one, there's growth amongst what? The world. And there's so much into the world that the world chokes it, right? And there's no fruit, okay? So these are the different hearts, the different soils. And as you turn now back to Jeremiah chapter 4, this is exactly what he's talking about. He's talking about the heart. What kind of heart? Notice it says, break up your fallow ground, your hard heart, verse 3. And do not sow among thorns. Don't sow amongst the world, right? Because the thorns, what, they choke out the growth. Circumcise yourselves to the Lord. What is he saying? Circumcise. Circumcise your heart. That's what Jesus said, right? Told the scribes and the Pharisees, hey, you talk about circumcision, this and that. Circumcise your heart. Cut off the flesh. Okay? So you see how heart is a major theme here. And I want to underscore this. We always talk about the heart. What is the heart? Someone says, hey, what is the heart? Is it the physical heart? No. It's your desires, right? It's your being. What you live for, right? That's your heart. What you're passionate about. So where's your passion? Where's your heart? What kind of soil is it towards the Lord? Circumcise yourselves to the Lord and take away the foreskins of your heart. Cut away what? The flesh of your heart. All the physical things, right, that we desire, the flesh. Money, power, right? Respect, all these things that we kind of go after, right? He says, cut those things off. Circumcise your hearts. You men of Judah and inhabitants of Jerusalem, lest my fury come forth like fire and burn so that no one can quench it because of the evil of your doings. Okay, so their heart is wrong. That's why they're doing what they're doing. Now, sounds too simple, right? But it really is true, right? Why do we do what we're doing in terms of doing things wrong? It's because our heart is wrong. I mean, it's very simple. Now, it's very difficult to change our heart. It's difficult. It's difficult to change people. And it's difficult to change, it's difficult to change our hearts. Why? Because our hearts are always for what? For what I want. Not for what God wants. And so, this is what he's underscoring. This is what he's bringing to their attention, is that their hearts are wrong. And because their hearts are wrong, and they don't want to change, what's going to happen? Judgment. And we can apply this to our own life, right? When our hearts are wrong, we don't want to change. Now, don't mistake God's mercy for him not bringing judgment. What is mercy? It's long-suffering. But there'll be a day. He's going to long-suffer for a finite amount of time. It's not infinite. Because at the end of mercy comes what? Judgment. Now, what's the purpose of judgment? It's to bring correction. Understand? You see the sequence there. We're in our life of sin. We're practicing sin. We're doing something wrong because our heart is wrong. Now, the Lord allows us for a time to do that in hopes that we would repent. But if we don't repent, if we're truly a child of God, he's going to allow something to happen to change it. Pretty simple, huh? How many have experienced that? I've experienced that. You've experienced that, right? And if it happened once, it's going to happen again, right? He wants to get our attention. Why? Because he knows when we follow him as a child of God, that's the right way to go. But when we start to meander and don't follow him, that's how we're going to get hurt. Okay, so this is what we're seeing happening to Judah here. Okay, so now verse 5, we're going to see the judgment that he's going to prophesy. It says, declare in Judah and proclaim in Jerusalem and say, blow the trumpet in the land, cry, gather together and say, assemble yourselves and let us go into the fortified cities. Set up the standard towards Zion. Take refuge. Do not delay, for I will bring disaster from the north. Who's that? Nebuchadnezzar. And he's coming. He's coming from the north. And Jeremiah is saying, hey, you guys better be ready. Now, the interesting thing is that, hey, Jeremiah, relax. You're getting too uptight. Right? We're God's people. And the other prophets are telling, hey, you're going to be safe. See, they don't want to hear the truth. They want to hear the lie because they want to continue in their sin. They've mistaken God's mercy, right, for him not judging. God is also a God of judgment. He's a God of mercy too, but he's a God of judgment. He is going to do the right thing after a certain amount of time, right? He's going to bring people to justice. He's going to be holding people to account, right? For I will bring disaster from the north and great destruction. Now let me ask you this. If somebody came with the word of the Lord to you, and let's say you're doing something wrong, and he says, you know, the Lord really kind of pressed on my heart that, boy, you're walking a tight line there. A disaster awaits you. Would you listen? How many would listen? Or would you say, hey, you're a false prophet? You see, the question, right, only you know. Right? It's between you and the Lord. Somebody can come with the word of the God, of the Lord, but really it's between you and the Lord. Only you know, right, the consequences of your sin. There will be consequences, but only you really know what you're doing. And the Lord, he gives us multiple chances, and he gives us his word. The question is, are we going to heed to his word? Are we going to heed to the word? This is the question that he's giving Judah right now. It says, I will bring disaster from the north and great destruction. The lion has come up from his thicket, and the destroyer of nations is on his way. Judgment's coming. He has gone forth from his place to make your land desolate. Your cities will be laid waste without inhabitant. You're going to be taken out. That's what he's saying. For this, clothe yourself with sackcloth, lament and wail. You're going to be mourning. For the fierce anger of the Lord has not turned back from us. And it shall come to pass in that day, says the Lord, that the heart of the king shall perish. Notice the word heart again. The heart of the king shall perish. And the heart of the princess, the priest, shall be astonished, and the prophets shall wonder. Now, remember Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 10. Remember I read that? The message was to root and to pull down, to destroy and to throw down, and to build and to plant. Who was that message to? If you go to chapter 1, verse 18, the latter part there, it was a prophecy against the kings of Judah, against its princes, against its priests, and against the people of the land. And this is exactly what he's doing. He's prophesying this to the kings, to the priests, to the prophets. Then I said, ah, Lord God, surely you have greatly deceived, verse 10, this people and Jerusalem, saying, you shall have peace, whereas the sword reaches to the heart. What's he saying here, Jeremiah? He's prophesying that the other prophets are saying this. Ah, Lord God, surely you have greatly deceived this people and Jerusalem, saying, you shall have peace. You see, he's highlighting what the false prophets are saying. You're going to have peace. Thus saith the Lord, you're going to have peace. But Jeremiah's coming with the truth. Verse 11, at that time it will be said to this people and to Jerusalem, a dry wind of the desolate heights blows in the wilderness toward the daughter of my people, not to fan or to cleanse. A wind too strong for these will come for me. Now I will also speak judgment against them. So wind's going to come, and it's not going to wind to clean or to fan. Right? It's going to be a dry wind. It's going to bring famine, desolation. Okay? It's going to bring emptiness. Verse 13. Behold, he shall come up like clouds, and his chariots like a whirlwind. His horses are swifter than eagles. Woe to us, for we are plundered. Again, it's a prophecy of when Nebuchadnezzar comes in and takes the city. Verse 14. O Jerusalem, wash your what? Wash your heart from wickedness, that you may be saved. How long shall your evil thoughts lodge within you? For a voice declares from Dan and proclaims affliction from Mount Ephraim. Make mention, verse 16, to the nations. Yes, proclaim against Jerusalem that watchers come from a far country and raise their voice against the cities of Judah. Verse 17, like keepers of a field, they are against her all around because she has been rebellious against me, says the Lord. Your ways and your doings have procured these things for you. This is your wickedness because it is bitter, because it reaches to your heart. See, it's a matter of the heart, isn't it? Always has been a matter of the heart. Verse 19. Oh, my soul, I am pained in my very heart. My heart makes a noise in me. I cannot hold my peace because you have heard, oh, my soul, the sound of the trumpet, the alarm of war. Destruction upon destruction is cried. For the whole land is plundered. Suddenly my tents are plundered and my curtains in a moment. And isn't that what happens, judgment? It happens so fast, in a moment, huh? Everything's fine, and all of a sudden, in a moment, the Lord is allowed, right? There's been a lot of warnings. A lot of time for you to repent. There's been mercy. But then, just the next moment, right, it happens. This is what's being described. And that's what happened when Nebuchadnezzar went in. Boy, he went in, boom, did it. When he took the city. How long will I see the standard and hear the sound of the trumpet? For my people are foolish. They have not known me. Isn't that interesting, right? God's people, but they don't know him. Foolishness, right? They have an outward appearance of knowing God, but they're in sin. Interesting, huh? They go to temple. They worship the Lord. They may even obey Sabbath, whatever. Right? They're doing all these religious acts, but they don't know the Lord. Isn't that interesting? And so judgment's coming. They are silly children and have no understanding. They are wise to do evil, but to do good they have no knowledge. Isn't that interesting? They have a lot of wisdom in this world, but no wisdom with God. Right? They're wise to do evil. They can think of all these things, right? To do evil. You ever observe that? You know, you meet somebody. Well, matter of fact, I just experienced this. It happened. There's always people trying to steal money from you, right? Con you, right? Rip you off, right? Well, this identity theft and all that. There's a lot of people trying to do that, right? And you think about, boy, they spend so much time and energy. If they would just spend so much, and that same amount of time and energy trying to find a job, they wouldn't have to do these things. They just would do things right. But they're always trying to think of, well, how can I scam somebody? And boy, there's these elaborate methods, and they spend all their time, they're thinking about all that. I mean, if they would just put a resume together and say, you know what, I want to work hard and get a job, they'd probably be much further ahead, I think, right? They are wise to do evil, but to do good, they have no knowledge. Just do what's right. With all that energy in serving the Lord. Verse 23. I beheld the earth, and indeed it was without form and void, and the heavens, they had no light. I beheld the mountains, and indeed they trembled. Speaking in the name of the Lord, right? This is the Lord God of creation. And all the hills moved back and forth. I beheld, and indeed there was no man, and all the birds of the heavens had fled. I beheld, and indeed the fruitful land was a wilderness. And all its cities were broken down at the presence of the Lord by his fierce anger. For thus says the Lord, the whole land shall be desolate, yet I will not make a full end. So here we see the theme of a remnant. Right? So even though there's going to be judgment, God is always going to spare a faithful remnant. Those that are faithful to him. And you see that throughout history. You see that throughout the Bible. No matter how bad it gets, even in the time of, I think, Noah. Right? Who is that faithful remnant? Noah and his family. So every time judgment comes, there's always a faithful remnant that God has his hand on. Somebody that has not bowed the knee to this world. And so that's what he's prophesying. Yet I will not make a full end to Judah. For this shall the earth mourn and the heavens above be black because I have spoken. I have purposed and will not relent, nor will I turn back from it. The whole city shall flee from the noise of the horsemen and bowmen. They shall go into thickets and climb up on the rocks. Every city shall be forsaken, and not a man shall dwell in it. It's going to be totally desecrated. And when you are plundered, what does plunder mean? Not only are you destroyed, everything you have is just taken. You're plundered. And when you are plundered, what will you do? What will you do when judgment comes? What will you do? Though you clothe yourself with crimson, though you adorn yourself with ornaments of gold, though you enlarge your eyes with pain. You see, he's hiding all these things that you went after, we went after in this world. When judgment comes, are they going to help you? When judgment comes, is that brand new car going to help you? What about your clothes? What about your gold earrings? Is that going to help you? He said, no. Right? It's obvious. In vain you will make yourself fair. Your lovers will despise you. They will seek your life. See, all those things that we put so much energy and time into, all those things we make more important than God. When judgment comes, where are they? I don't know about you, if you had as many jobs as I have had, you'll know that a job doesn't last forever. As fast as they can hire you, that's as fast as they can let you go. How many kind of just put all their blood, sweat, and tears in a job? Now, I'm not saying not to work hard. You work as unto the Lord. But I got to tell you, as quick as you can get a job, that's as quick as they can say bye-bye. And so if we're depending on our job, and not the Lord, boy, we're deceived, aren't we? Your lovers will despise you. They will seek your life. For I have heard a voice as of a woman in labor, the anguish as of her who brings forth her first child. The voice of the daughter of Zion bewailing herself. She spreads her hands, saying, woe is me now, for my soul is weary because of murderers. Now, chapter 5, verse 1. Run to and fro through the streets of Jerusalem. See now and know and seek in her open places if you can find a man. One man, if there is anyone who executes judgment, who seeks the truth, and I will pardon her. So he's using this illustration. He says, run to and fro in Jerusalem. If you find one man that seeks the truth, I'm not going to judge the city. But he doesn't find one. He looks to the poor, doesn't find one. Then he looks to the rich, doesn't find one. Let's keep reading. Though they say, as the Lord lives. Notice they have the spiritual jargon, right? Thus saith the Lord, as the Lord lives. Though they say, as the Lord lives, surely they swear falsely. Verse 3, O Lord, are not your eyes on the truth? You have stricken them, but they have not grieved. You have consumed them, but they have refused to receive correction. That's the problem, right? They refuse to receive correction. That's probably our problem too, right? How many like to be corrected? I sure don't. You know, it's interesting. I think oftentimes when the Lord tries to correct us, right? We have that same response. I don't want to be corrected by you, Lord. I don't want to change. Change that other person. They're wrong. But it's never, right? We never want to repent. We never want to change. That's what repentance means, right? Change. But we don't want to change. See, this is what he's describing here. Find a person that wants the truth. Find a person that wants to change. But they have refused to receive correction. They have made their faces harder than rock. They have refused to return, right? It's the hardness of a person, right, that doesn't want to change. You change. I don't need to change. My way is the right way. Our hearts are hard, right? That's why we don't change. And so that's why God brings us through some difficult times. He breaks us. He breaks our heart. Makes it soft so we would change. This is what he's doing to Judah. And I got to tell you, people, this is what he does to us. If we think we need not to change, right? Oftentimes he brings a situation where it breaks us. And as we're broken, that's how we change. Therefore, I said, surely these are poor. They are foolish, for they do not know the way of the Lord, the judgment of their God. So he says, I tried to find one person amongst the poor that wanted truth. I couldn't find one. They didn't want to change. They didn't want to be corrected. So he says, verse 5, I will go to the great men and speak to them, for they have known the way of the Lord, the judgment of their God. But these have altogether broken the yoke. They don't want to change either. And burst the bonds. Therefore, a lion from the forest shall slay them. No one wants to change, so therefore, I'm going to break them. That's what he said. A wolf of the desert shall destroy them. A leopard will watch over their cities. Everyone who goes out from there shall be torn in pieces, because their transgressions are many. They don't want to change, so I'm going to break them so that they will change. Notice their backslidings have increased. Verse 7, how shall I pardon you for this? Your children have forsaken me and sworn by those that are not gods. When I had fed them to the full, then they committed adultery. So after the Lord was faithful, right, to bring them into land and to feed them, what happened? They were unfaithful, right? They went after other gods. So he says, how shall I pardon this? It's been going on years and years, generations and generations. They keep on doing it. So finally, I'm going to let them not be in the land anymore. I'm going to let them be judged. Then they committed adultery and assembled themselves by troops in the harlots' houses. They were like well-fed, lusty stallions. Everyone neighed after his neighbor's wife. Shall I not punish them for these things, says the Lord? And shall I not avenge myself on such a nation as this? See, God's mercy. Don't mistake God's mercy for him not going to judge. He's going to judge. Don't think you can keep on getting away with sin. There'll be a day of reckoning. Go up on her walls and destroy, but do not make a complete end. So there's going to be judgment, but there's going to be a faithful remnant, right? But do not make a complete end. Take away her branches, but not the entire tree, right? For they are not the Lord's. For the house of Israel and the house of Judah have dealt very treacherously with me, says the Lord. They have lied about the Lord and said, it is not he. Neither will evil come upon us, nor shall we see sword or famine. So he's referring to the false prophets. And he's saying, they've lied about the Lord, these false prophets. They said, hey, judgment's not going to come. We're God's children. Thus saith the Lord, we're going to be fine. Right? They're telling lies. They're telling the people what they want to hear. People want to hear, hey, we're doing fine. I can go on sinning. Right? I'm okay. And he says, basically, they've lied. They lied about the Lord. That's not the Lord's, what the Lord is saying. The Lord is saying is repent. What you need to do is repent. Neither will evil come upon us. That's what they're saying. Nor shall we see sword or famine. And the prophets become wind, for the word is not in them. They're just a bunch of hot air. That's all they are. Telling people what they want to hear. Thus shall it be done to them. Verse 14. Therefore, thus says the Lord God of hosts, because you speak this word, behold, I will make my words in your mouth fire, and this people wood, and it shall devour them. So he's going to speak the truth, right? And it's going to be judgment. Behold, I will bring a nation against you from afar. This would be Babylon. O house of Israel, says the Lord, it is a mighty nation. It is an ancient nation, a nation whose language you do not know, nor can you understand what they say. Their quiver is like an open tomb. They are all mighty men, and they shall eat up your harvest and your bread, which your sons and daughters should eat. They shall eat up your flocks and your herds. They shall eat up your vines and your fig trees. They shall destroy your fortified cities, in which you trust with the sword. This literally happened when Nebuchadnezzar came and took them. Nevertheless, verse 18, in those days, says the Lord, I will not make a complete end of you. So notice every time he reminds him, but there's going to be a faithful remnant. Right? So no matter, even if the Lord brings judgment, there's going to be a faithful remnant that's going to be faithful to him, right? That he's not going to destroy. Verse 19, it will be when you say, why does the Lord our God do all these things to us? Then you shall answer them, just as you have forsaken me and served foreign gods in your land, so you shall serve aliens in the land that is not yours. Verse 20, declare this in the house of Jacob and proclaim it in Judah, saying, hear this now, O foolish people without understanding, who have eyes and see not, and who have ears and hear not. Do you not fear me? That's the question, right? Why do we continue in sin? Why do we continue to not want to change? It's probably because we don't fear the Lord. And that's why he brings judgment. Right? When he brings judgment, when we go through some kind of calamity, well, that's when we fear the Lord. But when things are going good, right? We don't fear the Lord. There's no accountability, we think, right? He's not going to hold me accountable. I'm getting away with it. Right? And this is why judgment comes. See, judgment comes because the Lord wants to get your attention. And the reason he wants to get your attention is because the road you're going is a road to destruction. Right? And so in his love, he allows judgment to come. So you would change your ways. There's no fear of the Lord. That's why we continue on. It says, do you not fear me, says the Lord. Proverbs 8, verse 13 says, if to fear the Lord is to hate evil. Now we know that fear of the Lord, right, is the beginning of wisdom. But in Proverbs 8, 13, it says, the fear of the Lord, right, is to hate evil. You see, when we have a healthy fear of the Lord, we hate doing sin. We hate evil. If we have a healthy fear of the Lord. Do you not fear me, says the Lord? Will you not tremble at my presence? Who have placed the sand as the bound of the sea, by a perpetual decree that it cannot pass beyond it? And though its waves toss to and fro, yet they cannot prevail. Though they roar, yet they cannot pass over it. So you can see God's power, right? His man, he even controls the oceans and the sea, right? Tells it when to go, when to stop, right? Gives it its bounds. He says, I'm the God that does this. You need to fear me, tremble. You see, when we do things we ought not to do, it's because we don't fear the Lord. And he reminds them, he's the God of all things, God of all creation. In him is all power, all glory, all strength. It says, but this people, verse 23, has a defiant and rebellious what? Heart. You ever met somebody that has a rebellious heart? Defiant? Maybe a child, right, that's defiant, rebellious. What do? Judgment, right? That's how you change them. When they're defiant, they're not only doing things wrong, but they're defying you, right? I mean, you know what I'm talking about. What needs to happen? That needs to be broken. And so what needs to happen to us when we're defiant? When we're rebellious, right? The Lord, he needs to break our hearts so that we would change. They have revolted and departed. They do not say what in their heart. Let us now fear the Lord our God, who gives rain, both the former and the latter, in its season. He reserves for us the appointed weeks of the harvest. Your iniquities have turned these things away, and your sins have withheld good from you. You see, it's our sins that have withheld God's bounty. We think, right? We're doing okay. We can do things our way, even if we're in sin. But really, the Lord wants to bless. But oftentimes it's us, it's what we're doing. It's our sins that keeps the blessing from coming. He says, your sins have withheld good from you. Verse 26, for among my people are found wicked men. They lie in wait as one who sets snares. They set a trap, they catch men. As a cage is full of birds, so their houses are full of deceit. Therefore they have become great and grown rich. They have grown fat, they are sleek. Yes, they surpass the deeds of the wicked. They do not plead the cause of the fatherless. yet they prosper. See, they think they're getting away with it, don't they? They're exercising worldly things, they're in sin, and they think they're getting away with it. They're taking God's mercy, right, for granted. They think, oh, well, everything's fine. I can go on, keep on doing, right? Keep on drinking, keep on having that beer, keep on doing all these things, these worldly things, right? And nothing's happened until it happens, right? Yet they prosper, and the right of the needy they do not defend. Shall I not punish them? It's a good question, right? What do you think you would tell the Lord when you see somebody that's living like this? And the Lord says, should I punish him? What would you say? Oh, no, let him go. What would you say? You'd probably say to punish him, right? For their own good. Shall I not punish them for these things? Well, of course you should, Lord. Shall I not avenge myself on such a nation as this? An astonishing and horrible thing has been committed in the land. The prophets, they prophesy falsely. See, what the prophet is saying is that there's nothing wrong. You can go on doing what you're doing. The Lord approves of it. Thus saith the Lord, we're going to live in peace. You can continue on. And what God is saying, that's an astonishing and a horrible thing. And that has been committed in the land. The prophets prophesy falsely, and the priests, they rule by their own power. And my people love to have it so. My people, they love what they're doing. And they love what these false prophets are telling them. But what will you do in the end when the judgment comes? You know, Paul told Timothy this in 2 Timothy chapter 4. You can refer to this in your own time. We refer to this oftentimes. But basically, Paul warns Timothy, there'll be a time in the church. And people, I believe that's the time we're in now. That there are going to be teachers that are raised up. Ministers. Pastors, they're going to be raised up to tell the people what they want to hear. Not to tell them the truth, but to tell them what they want to hear. It's the same that's happening here. And the Lord says, I'm astonished at this. It's an astonishing and horrible thing what some churches are teaching. This is exactly what is being prophesied to Israel or to Judah right here. These ones are saying, thus saith the Lord, referring to the word of God. And God says it's an astonishing and a horrible thing. It's not the truth. And so, tonight I think, you know, so much application for today. Do we want the truth, even though it's difficult sometimes to hear? Or do we want to hear what we want to hear? Do we want to continue to go on the way we're going? Not be corrected? Or do we want to go the Lord's way? And so this is the prophecy of Jeremiah. This is his ministry, is to correct, is to root out, is to destroy what's happening now so that he would begin a new work. And I think, you know, it's a word for us too. You know, if we're struggling with sin, if we're going the wrong way, right? That's what the Lord wants to do. He wants to get your attention. I think the message, you know, if you continue doing, judgment's coming. You cannot continue to live a lifestyle of sin and not have the Lord do something if you truly are a child of God. That's the message. And the reason he wants to do it is he wants to restore you. He doesn't want you to live in this lie. He wants to correct you. And so, is your heart soft? Is our heart soft to be corrected? Say, okay, Lord, it's going to be your way. not my way. I always think that one of the questions we ask, we need to ask ourselves, is have I changed? Have I changed? Or am I the same? Because that's really what the Lord wants. He wants us to repent. He wants us to change. He wants to do things, us to do things His way, not our way. In all things. Not just the big old major things, but even in the little things. How I correspond with people, my attitude towards people, how I speak to them. You know, the Lord wants us to always be growing, becoming more like Him. And He gives us opportunities. And in His mercy, He beckons us, right? Will you change? Will you become more like my Son? Or will you just say, okay, I'm going to just do it my way? You know, I think that's the challenge for us. Repentance, it really means to go God's way in everything. And it's a continuing work. Let's pray, Lord. We thank You for Your word this evening, Lord. Help us, Lord, I pray, in all things, Lord, to do things as You would have us do them, Lord. But I pray, Lord, that, you know, there's many, I believe, that, well, I have nothing to repent of, but we have so many things to repent of. There's so many things we don't do like You, Lord, and we need to. We think of these major things, these big things, and many people are struggling with these big things that they need to repent of, but the little things that we do, Lord, just our attitudes, how we correspond to other people, Lord. Lord, I pray, Lord, that You would move in our hearts to not stay the same, Lord, to be open. Every single day we have the breath of life to be changed by Your Spirit, Lord. Help us, I pray. Change our hearts. Give us soft hearts toward You, Lord. I ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Shall we stand?